Morning. Good to see you here, all here, and those who have joined us on the video, on the broadcast. That's it. That's the word I'm looking for. We've been looking at a series on hear and see, hearing and seeing what the Lord is saying and doing, and finding what is gets in the way of that. We've been looking at the first three verses of Romans chapter 12. And we're seeing that where Paul has been talking in the first 11 chapters, he's been putting forward all the theology and so on. And he's come to chapter 12 and he's telling us what we need to do. We've been thinking for a long time about being stronger, better together. And there are things that we have to put into place, things that the Lord requires of us. And this word has been on my heart for a long time. And I'm just saying, Lord, we just need to, as it were, grab hold of this and finalize this and nail it in our hearts. So let's look first at these verses in Romans again, just remind ourselves. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We looked at that last time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will be able to test and approve. Then you will know what God is saying and doing. You will know his will, what it is, his good and perfect and pleasing will. That's where we're trying to get. Last time, we looked about offering our bodies as living sacrifices. Wonder how you got on with that. But now, you know that God wants all of you, don't you? He doesn't just want your body as a living sacrifice. He's now wanting for your mind to be changed. He's wanting for your mind to become like his mind. And so he's asking that you would give him your mind by transforming it. So there are three words in this passage today. Conform, transform, renew. Conform, transform, renew are the three key words. So let's look at those. Conformed, conform. What does it mean to conform? It means to follow the rules. It means to go along with the crowd. It means to do what everybody else is doing. Do you know, when I was a kid, when birthdays used to be at home and you didn't go to Baskins and Robbins or you didn't go to all these different places, McDonald's or bowling, or you just had five kids round from school round at your place. Whenever my mum, you know, you always had jelly then, didn't you? Whenever my mum made a jelly, sometimes it was a milk jelly. Sometimes it was a blancmange. But do you know the amazing thing about it? It was always in the shape of a rabbit. Laid down, ears back, flat. It always looked like a rabbit. I wonder why that was. For those of you who are too young to know, they had molds. A mold. I wonder if your life or part of your life is poured into a mould and always comes out the same way. I wonder if one of the world's moulds is what you get poured into. This is for the guys, of course, the builders among you. You know that whenever you're going to pour concrete, you have to put some shuttering up. You have to put some wood into place and fix it in place. Otherwise, it just spreads out everywhere. If you want to make it into something, you have to form a mold to make it the right shape. Sometimes it's a good thing. But if it's the world's mold you're being poured into, maybe that's not so good. If it's the mold that the devil has provided for you, perhaps that's not good. Let's just look at another scripture here. This is quite an amazing scripture, 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Now, obviously, that doesn't necessarily apply to this church. But the point here is this. You could be part of a Christian community and still be worldly. You could be part of a Christian community. You could have given your life to Christ and still be in the world's mold. And that's what Paul was taking up here. And that last sentence is an amazing sentence. Are you not acting like mere men? Let me tell you, I've been told many, many times by Christians, well, of course, and I'm sure you've heard it, well, of course, I'm just human. No, you're not. Not if you're saved, you're not. Paul's saying, don't give me that as an excuse. Don't say, oh, I'm just a mere man or I'm just a mere woman to cover up the worldliness. Paul called them saints. Did you know you were a saint? A lot of you don't look sure. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're a saint. That's what the Bible says. We only deal with what the Bible says here. You're a saint. Colossians 2 and verse 20. We're just going to go on with this. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? If you become a Christian and you're part of the kingdom of God, why are you still submitting to the mold of the world? James 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There is an outworking of what God has done in us. There is an outworking to the world to bless those who are less well off. But we need to keep ourselves out of the mold. We need to keep ourselves and our minds from being part of the world. James 4 and verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Oh my goodness, this is happy stuff, isn't it? Don't you know that if you're friends with the world, it says you're hateful. It says you're in a hate relationship with God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Oh, my goodness. Paul's wanting to say, hey, guys, deal with the world that's in your life. We mentioned this, didn't we, a year or so ago. The world, what do? We renounce the world. Do you remember that? Renounce the world and all its attitudes and ideas and theories. Renounce the world. Let's look at one more. 1 John 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's hard in our current culture. We don't like things absolutely black and white. We like it to be nice sort of shades of grey that we can all fit into. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. We have to deal with the world. We have to deal with the mold that we're constantly, the enemy's trying to push us into. And the scripture says, do not conform to this. Don't give it a place in your life. Do not let yourself be squeezed into this mold. Say in your heart, I'm not going to be a rabbit. We're not going to conform. We're not going to be conformed. Do you remember way back in the Renaissance, they were called nonconformists, the early people, nonconformists. They wouldn't conform to what the going thing was. No, they wanted to follow Jesus. Do not conform to this world. Okay, we're going to go on to transform. So you're not going to conform, but we're going to be transformed. I want you to look at this picture. It's a pretty picture. The definition isn't great. But some call it a caterpillar. Others call it a grub. It's just what it is. It's black. It's a bit furry. It hatches from an egg. And it eats the leaf that it's sitting on. Now let's look at the other picture. Oh, there's a butterfly. That butterfly is called a painted lady, just for those who don't know that. And the interesting thing is that the grub became that. The caterpillar became that. The caterpillar got transformed into that. Now I want to tell you a bit of Greek. When it says in Romans 12, and be transformed, the Greek word, I'm going to get it right, make sure I get it right, is metamorpho. What does that sound like? Metamorphosis, which is where we get the word from. Now, isn't that interesting? So you are expected not to conform, but to be metamorphosed, to be something entirely different. Something entirely different. Not a grub that loses its legs or changes its colour. Not a grub that decides to not live on leaves but live on something else. Not something that just gets changed. Do you remember a tadpole? A tadpole, you just leave a tadpole and eventually it just grows legs out of the tadpole. And eventually its tail drops off. And eventually, as the legs grow, you think, oh my goodness, it looks a bit like a frog. But actually, it was the same thing. It just changed day by day, a little bit by a little bit. It didn't become a different thing altogether. But we're told in biology that the caterpillar actually becomes a completely different thing. I mean, I never saw a flying frog. But the caterpillar changed so much that it became something that flew. It became a new and completely different thing. And so what Paul is asking you is not just to change. Oh, well, I'll adjust this and I'll adjust that. I'll make a bit of a change here. No. You're supposed to be transformed. You're supposed to become a completely different being. And we look before. And Paul says, not only that is that what is expected, he says, that is what is completely reasonable considering what Jesus has done for you. This is not something special. This is not something off the wall. This is just the normal, reasonable response to what Jesus has done. I'm not going to be conformed. I'm going to be transformed. And it's what we need to do in order to be alive and useful in the kingdom. And that's what it's about, brothers and sisters. If we're going to go on from where we are now, we're going to need to be transformed in order that we can do what God is doing and speak the words that he's speaking. So how's this transformation going to take place? Well, the next word, or the third word, was renew. So the transformation, Paul says, takes place by the renewing of your mind. Wow, how are you going to renew your mind? How are you going to renew your mind? Scott, when we were dealing with communion, he mentioned the verse that anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Doesn't this, that Paul now says here, somehow conflict with that? I mean, surely, if we're in Christ and we're a new creation, isn't it all just happened? Oh, isn't that great? One day, there I was, sitting on a leaf being a grub. And the next day, I just woke up and, oh, I was a beautiful butterfly. Hands up if that happened to anybody here. Oh, no one. Oh, right, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Because they're both true. We're new creations in Christ, that's true. And yet, we have to play a part as well. We have to work it out. Paul also said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, you've got, oh dear. You mean I'm not just going to wake up and be a butterfly? Oh dear, that's a bit of a blow, isn't it? I thought it was just as easy as that and I had nothing to do. I thought there was no cost to it. It was just going to be, whoa, isn't this beautiful? Oh dear. Did you know you have to take every thought that you've got captive? Oh, wow. That's getting hard, isn't it? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want to tell you, I find that difficult. I find it difficult to take every thought captive. I find it difficult to take every thought that I have and make it obedient to Christ. Does anybody else find that difficult, or is it just me? Oh, there's a few of us. Oh, good. Remember, we're looking at transformation and not change. We're looking at trying to get out of the world's mold. I'm going to tell you a story. Most of you know that I've been a lawyer most of my life. And when I started my own practice, which was a long time ago, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I want to tell you that this is your practice and I'm just going to work for you." Now, there was a sort of slight selfish thing in that, because I also said to the Lord, "So I'm just going to work for you, and since it's your practice, you're responsible." So in the first year, when it was a bit hard going, my secretary was a Christian. There were just the two of us. And sometimes we got to the point where I had no money to pay the bills, had no money to pay the salary. And so we decided that we would pray. And we very, very short prayer, really. We just said, "Lord, we've got a bit of spare time here. We could do with another client or two. We could do with something to do. And since this is your practice, Lord, can you do something about that?" My testimony is that we didn't pray that prayer very often, so I'm not saying we prayed hundreds of times. We probably prayed that prayer 3 or 4 times. But we never prayed that prayer without somebody coming to the door or ringing within 1 hour. Ever. And later on, when I had an office, I was much more busy, and the phone went one day, and there was a girl on the other end of the phone, and she said, "Oh, I'm from Thompson Directory. Do you remember some of you Thompson Directories? I'm from Thompson Directory, and we're starting the new directory for next year, and all the solicitors in this area are going to be part of the directory. Would you like to be part of it as well?" And I was very busy, and I said, "Oh, okay, yes, go on." I followed the crowd. And it was a long time ago. I was a bit miffed when I got a bill through the post for £125. Oh, right, okay. And the Lord said, "Why did you do that?" "Well, it was just the Thompson Directory, but I thought this was my firm. "Oh, right, Lord." In one whole year, I never had a single person come through that entry in that directory. Not one. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I will never do that again." Going on a few years now into the, that, I don't know, 2002 or 3 or 4 or something like that. I was probably the only person, the only solicitor in the whole country that wasn't even in the telephone book. If you looked in the telephone book, if you remember telephone books, I couldn't be found. And one day somebody came into the office, a lady, and she said, "I've been looking for you everywhere. I was told to come and see you. I've been looking for you everywhere, but you're not in the telephone directory." And I said, "No, I'm sorry, I'm not, no." And then she said something which was almost prophetic. I was shocked. She said, "I don't suppose you need to be." And I said, "Well, actually, that's true." And apart from that once, in 40 years, I never did any advertising at all. Because I'd already decided that I would not be in the world's mould. I decided that, Father, you're sufficient and it's your practice, so I'm just going to rely on you. Now, I want to say that that was just a small thing. There are hundreds of things where I haven't done that. So I don't want you to run away with the idea that I've got it all together here. That isn't true. I'm just giving you one illustration, though, of where it did work. I just want to mention a few of the molds that the world tries to push us into. Maybe some of them will resonate. Greed and the love of money. We think that if we get things bigger and better, it'll be okay. Do you know, Jesus told a parable about a man who said, "Oh, I'm doing well, I'll make bigger and better." Do you remember what God called him? A fool. The world's mold. It'll be okay if it's bigger and better. It'll be okay if I just could. Oh, I want some. Wow. Going along with that, maybe. Envy and jealousy. If only I was like that person. If only. If only. You know what Paul said? Paul had worked a lot of this out. And he said in Philippians, let's have a look at it. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty." Listen to the not worldly view. "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." So it doesn't matter whether I have a lot, whether I have little in the kingdom. I have learned to be content. So whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or want. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, do you see the difference in the mindset? Do you see how Paul has renewed his mind away from how the world thinks? What about arrogance? I'm only interested in me. I have a neighbour that actually boasts that that's how he thinks. Oh, well, I'm only interested in me. Oh, I'm not bothered about anybody else. He actually says it out. He just says it like that. Immorality. It doesn't matter. Addiction. Oh, I can. It'll be all okay. I'll be better. I'll take it all away. Anger. Unforgiveness. I'll get them back. I'll make them pay. Aren't these the things that the world says? Aren't these the things that the crowd wants to go along with? But Paul says, no, 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 you are to renew your mind. What about cultural changes? I'm going to tread on some people's toes here. Is it possible to put that very first Romans 12 up again, please? Cultural things. This is an old-fashioned... This is the NIV. Oh, we need to go back to number one. Therefore, I urge you, brothers... Ooh, dear, that gets under somebody's skin. The modern versions have changed to brothers and sisters. Why? Because the crowd says so. Because that's what the world does now. I've got news for you. Do you know, I'm not bothered whether it says brothers. I'm not bothered whether they call me a sister. I'm not bothered whether it says all you lot. My Bible says that in the kingdom, there's neither male nor female. My Bible says that there's neither slave nor free. Why aren't we thinking like the kingdom thinks? Why is this an issue? It's absolutely brilliant to see here lots of different nationalities. It's great to see white people and black people and Asian people. The Bible says that there's no difference between us. We've all been made in the image of God. Why is this an issue? I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's only an issue in the world. It's not an issue in the kingdom. When are we going to deal with these things? When are we going to renew our mind? I'm going to give you six things. I've got it down as notes. We'll put it on the website. Six things. So how can you renew your mind? I've even got to be practical today. Not often. One, you need to recognize these thoughts when they come up. You need to recognize them and consciously bring them to the front, not just allow them to simmer in the background without consciously realizing them. So that you own them and accept, hey, that's what I'm actually thinking, that this is real and I need to deal with it. That's number one. Number two, acknowledge that they belong to the world. They're not part of the Christian life and they're contrary to God's word. Accept them and acknowledge that's what's happening. Third, hard, confess your sin of hanging on to them. Confess, Lord, this is not part of what you've called me into. It's not part of the life you've brought me into. I'm going to believe you. Unbelief is sin. I'm going to believe you, Lord. Four, I'm going to choose to disagree with Satan and throw off the mold I'm being pressed into. I'm going to shout at him, I will not be a rabbit. You're not going to make me into that. Choose to believe your Father. Number five, choose to believe Father God. Choose to agree with him that his word is true and right. Finally, six, commit yourself to renew your mind. Whose mind do you want? please don't ask for my mind. Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's all say it together. We have the mind of Christ. Oh, wow. I'm swapping my mind for Jesus' mind. Whee. Verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude. In one of the in the New King James, in the New NIV, it says, your mind set. Your mind set should be that of Christ. Your mindset should be that of Christ. I'm going to swap me for the Lord. What did John say? I must decrease and he must increase. They're all the things we've looked at before. Today, I'm going to take one thought that says, oh, this thought just came up. Ooh, hey, that isn't... That's the world's thought. Hey, look, I'm going to take it captive. I'm going to make it obedient to Christ. And that little part of my mind, I'm going to say, Lord, that's renewed and it's going to be like you. Brilliant. Finally, there's one more scripture. I haven't got it. But it says, Jesus said he came into the world to deliver us from the world. Jesus came to deliver us from the world. And who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you all.